The verbal threads that link this story together are relatively few. First is in the first episode, when Jesus heard this, and when the crowds heard it, and what this verbal thread does is to link these two sentences by the contrast between Jesus' discouragement when Jesus heard this, that is, when he heard about John the Baptist's arrest, he withdrew from there because what is conveyed is his grief. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot. So the sense there is of enthusiasm, of their wanting to be with him. The other major verbal thread is the disciples say, send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages. And Jesus says, they don't need to go away. So it's the contrast between what the disciples say and Jesus contradicting it, saying no. The other is the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They replied, we've got nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven. So those are the major verbal threads that connect this story, which are relatively few as stories go. The structure of the episodes is really easy to identify and to remember. You know, Jesus hearing this went to a deserted place. When he went ashore, when it was evening, Jesus said, they don't need to go away. They replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves, 2 fish. So he ordered the crowd to sit down. All eight and were filled. So the story moves clearly from episode to episode. And if you simply give names to the episodes or visualize them so that you can see this progression and then just simply describe what it is that you're seeing in your mind, in your imagination, this is an easy story to learn and to remember. The thing to remember about this is that the elements of meaning in these stories are conveyed by tone and attitude. And so don't worry about being idiosyncratic or having your own interpretation or something. Simply focus on what's going on in the story and tell that with an appropriate tone and attitude, and the story will come through just fine. One of the things in back of this is this myth that you can simply describe what is there in a neutral tone and that's the best way to tell the stories. And in fact, what that does is to distort things, because there are many places in the stories where the attitude of the storyteller or of Jesus is not neutral at all. And so if you convey it that way, then that miscommunicates what's going on in the story. So, for example, the retreat that Jesus had in mind at the beginning of the story. He is clearly wanting to get away. When he went ashore and saw a great crowd, it is initially, you know, it blows his retreat. And so seeing the great crowd is not whoopee, but it's, oh no. So that the compassion that he has is in contrast to his first response. That first response is conveyed by the tone of when he went ashore and what he saw, which is a description from his point of view. And so you want to convey the internal feeling that was associated with his seeing this great crowd when he wanted to go off to a desert place by himself. The disciples' concern about what to do with these people is a natural response. There's nothing wrong about it. You know, they're trying to figure out what to do. It does have some of the tone of, you know, the impatient student dealing with the dumb teacher who isn't paying attention to what's going on and has gotten carried away with his teaching and isn't, you know, so there's some of that tone there. You know, teacher, you know, this is a deserted place and the hour is late. Send these people away. So there's some of that there. It isn't that they are simply indifferent to what is going on, but rather that they're concerned about the people, and it seems as if Jesus is just continuing to teach and not paying attention to what time it is, and these people need to get something to eat. So Jesus' response then is a kind of rebuke. It isn't really a rebuke. It's simply a contradiction. They don't need to get away. You give them something to eat. That, in turn, is a very important dimension of the impact of this, because what are they going to do? And that's what's conveyed then in their response. You know, we've got nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And with all these people, by implication, you know, that won't amount to much. So when Jesus then says, "Bring them here to me," and orders the crowd to sit down on the grass, the question is, what is he going to do? The description of his taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven and blessing and breaking the bread is a liturgical gesture. It's a liturgical, sacramental tone and action that he is doing. So taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. Now, it is important to do those gestures as a part of telling this story, because it's the gestures as much as the words that convey the threads that this story then is linked to in later parts of the gospel, especially the Last Supper in Jerusalem with the disciples, when he takes the bread and blesses and breaks it and gives it to them. The miracle of the feeding of all of these people is connected with God's feeding Israel in the wilderness. Now, there isn't anything in the story that makes that explicit. That is, it is simply the overall story of this crowd in the wilderness who have nothing to eat, and that Jesus feeds them with virtually nothing. But the miracle is then this feeding of an extraordinary number of people with very little. And the climax of the story is the amazement at the sheer number of those. 5,000 men plus women and children. So if there was a wife with half of the men who were there and a child, then we're talking 10, 12,000 people. If there was, you know, at least one person with each of the men who was there. That's the calculation that the audience is doing as they think about how many people were there. So it is truly an extraordinary number. That's the wonder that needs to be conveyed at the end of the story. So the last episode is then an episode of wonder. They all ate, and all of them were filled, and they took up what was left over, 12 baskets. So even the 12 baskets is a remarkable thing, of the leftovers. So that last episode is a crescendo of wonder. It is more and more amazing with each thing that is described. That's how the story ends. So don't be afraid to do it and make it a real crescendo. It's a wonderful story, and I hope you'll have fun telling it.